year. We're so thankful for that. We want to give them opportunity. We're going to the book of Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter today, verses 1 through 11 is where I want to read. And we're so honored today for the blessings of the Lord. And I appreciate Brother Miller preaching this morning, the word of the Lord we heard. Amen. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, and we're going to go verse 1. We'll start off, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land where thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Gergesites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Will you push them out? Verse 2. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver thee before thee, shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them. Everybody say, no covenant. No covenant. Nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shall take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me. This is the Lord speaking. That they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down the groves, and burn the graven images with fire. Verse 6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more than number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the land or the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. Look at your neighbor and say, he's God. The faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments for 1,000 generation, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day. And I want to just look at that verse again. Verse 9. Know you therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keepeth commandments to 1,000 generations. Tonight I want to preach to you about the power of a covenant keeper. The power of a covenant keeper. Amen. Would you lift your hands and just ask God to help you tonight and help us in this place. God, we pray for your sweet anointing. God, let it matter. Let it mean something to us. We thank you for victory. We thank you for the power that we have felt in this service. But we need your word to come alive tonight. Thank you for the promises that you've given. And thank you for what you're going to do tonight in our lives. We give you praise and we give you thanks tonight. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. The covenant demands here, he said, because I have made a covenant with you, an agreement. He said, because you're not just any people. You are a special people. He said, I want you to be a separate people. And he said, he commands that there should be no compromise with the pagan world and the nations around. He said, don't show mercy. He said, don't even make peace with them. He said, don't even give your sons and your daughters. Don't marry them. He said, but you deal decisively with them in this manner. He said, they had sinful systems there. He said, destroy their altars. Take down their images and their groves and burn it all. And he said, basically, covenant people don't mix with darkness. Are you thankful today that we're people of the light? God has turned a light on for you and I. God has chosen, he said, You were chosen by me. He said, I didn't choose the greatest. I didn't put my love upon you because you were mighty. But he said, I chose you because I loved you. Are you thankful today for the love of God? And he said, I have kept the oath that I made with your ancient fathers. Way back from the beginning, I said to them that I would have an oath with them, that I would keep my end of the bargain. And I'm thankful that God is a faithful covenant keeper. God is a God, he said, he keepeth covenant to 1,000 generations. He repays the rebellious, and those who violated his covenant, he's going to repay. Amen. I want to just talk to us tonight about that power of a covenant keeper. It's our responsibility to be a keeper of the covenant. We got to keep his statutes, he said, his judgments and his commands. Isn't it sad that sometimes people just think, oh, it's just, that's just the Bible. That's just the Bible. No, no, no. This is the word of God. Amen. This is God's sacred thing. And when people lose that feeling that God's word is sacred, they lose in the sacred spot of their life. And something's going to take that spot. I don't want to let something take that sacredness out of my life. Keep God number one in your life. And you know as well as myself that a covenant is a two-way thing. God will keep his part if you keep your part. Amen. Obedience is a response of a covenant people. And I want to just talk to us tonight about that. We've got to be obedient to the things of God. I love the way God begins to help us. He rewards the keeper of covenant. There's a love that God gives somebody. I'm thankful that God loves me in spite of me. I'm thankful that God loves me in spite of my failures and faults and problems in this life. I want to tell you, there's no love like the love of God. There's no hope like God's hope and the glory that God has for us. Amen. There's nothing in this world that's going to love you like God. Amen. There's such rewards and blessings. God has that means of blessing you. I'm thankful today that I can live under the favor of God, that God still blesses. Amen. I want you to think about it. Amen. There's a physical blessing that God gives us. There's spiritual blessings, emotional blessings. And friend, God blesses our finances as well. Amen. Even the children of Israel, if you read on in the chapter, he said, if you keep covenant with me, I'm going to keep my hand upon you. There won't be sicknesses. There's not going to be disease. He said, your clothes on your body is not going to wear out. Your shoes on your feet is not going to wear out. Amen. In fact, we find that the keeper of covenant will be the one that will hold to his promise. He said, when the enemy comes, I'm going to send the hornet against them. Well, amen. Have you ever been stung by a hornet, hit by a hornet? They just don't sting you, but they knock the fire out of you. How many has ever been stung by a hornet? Let me see your hand. There's something about a ground hornet or a hornet in a tree. When it hits you, you'll know it hits you. Amen. A young man that we know one time was riding a four-wheeler behind our house. And before we knew it, I mean, he left that four-wheeler right there whenever that ground hornet hit him. And he was a big old boy. And back in those days, he was there to impress my daughter. But whenever he got in that back bedroom and his mom and daddy, they took his shirt off and all the different spots that I think 21 times it hit him. I want to tell you, when I opened that door, went in and brought some stuff to him, I mean, that boy was crying. He was in pain. Amen. And the Lord said, hey, I'm going to be such a God when the enemy comes against you. You don't have to raise your fist. I will send the hornet. Even things in the nature is going to come against them. I'd love to have that kind of God on my side. How about you? Amen. How wonderful it is when you got God fighting for you and you don't have to lift a finger, but you lift your heart to God. You keep the sacred things. There's a miraculous victory that God gives. And the covenant begins to empower something in our lives. God will make you, he will give you a sense of superiority. I want to just tell you, I'm not better than anybody else. But when you live for God, there's a sense of betterment. God betters your life. Amen. We know that we're just nobodies that God has pulled out of the septic system of life. Not one of us deserves the goodness of God. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. But I'm thankful that God will take you. He will pick you up and he will set your feet on a better place. He will establish your life and give you his favor. And he gives you something that is superior than the things of the world. Where everybody else is crumbling, everybody else is fumbling the ball, even God gives you a sense of power and victory. Amen. What happened was the Lord began to bless them. He delivered them from kings. He delivered them from times where judgment, where the laws of the land said, if you don't bow, we're going to throw you in a fiery furnace. Or we're going to put you in a lion's den. Man, I want to tell you what. Amen. Lions, hungry lions, amen, have nothing for a praying saint of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to say it again. Lions, even though they're hungry, are nothing when somebody's in covenant with God. And even the fiery furnace, I have a God of covenant that will walk with them even when the fiery furnace was so hot that the people that threw the Hebrew boys in, they were burned by fire. But the Bible says not one thread or one hair was singed on the people that lived on their end of the covenant with God. Oh, you ought to praise God tonight for what he's done for you. God loved you enough to give you an opportunity to be in covenant with him. Amen. I think about a covenant. The definition is a solemn binding agreement initiated here by God between people. And he seals it with his commitment, his oath, and a mutual responsibility. You see, a covenant is not just a one-sided deal, but you have to live it on your part. God reached down, but he said, hey, you better reach up to where I'm at now. You better love me with all your heart, all your soul. And when you do your part, I'm going to stay there with you. Oh, of all people, Noah. He gave Noah an opportunity and gave Noah the instructions, and Noah preached to his generation. But only those that followed the plan and got in the ark was the ones that made it. But God had a Noah. God had a covenant. And as a result, God kept his word. And the Bible says, and the door was shut behind Noah, and Noah and his family were sealed in the ark. Sealed in the ark. I'm glad that God will seal you in when you live for him. I want to be sealed in the ark of God's protection. I don't care if it's rain. I don't care if it's fire. I don't care what it is. When you're living for God, God's going to live in your life. God's going to be for you. And the scripture said, if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. The power of a covenant keeper. Later on, there was a man named Abram. The Lord said, get thee out of your country, your culture, and leave your culture, leave your family. The Lord didn't tell him where he was going to take him. He said, just go. The Lord began to direct him. He didn't have a GPS. All he had was the voice of God. And Abraham left, and the Lord said this. He said, as a result, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Abraham didn't have children, he and his wife, and they were well-aged. Anybody here 80 years old? Yeah. I mean, they were well seasoned in life. Well above that. And they could not have children according to the biological status of their age. But I have a God. When God says it, God can do it. I'm telling you, old grandma Sarah, amen, here she was all bent down, and she laughed when she heard the Lord give her a promise. She laughed, there's no way. Her dentures were clacking that day. But I want to tell you, amen, the Bible says this, her laughter wasn't the laughter that she had just a few months later. And a little bit later, over a year later, she was laughing in the tent because God had fulfilled his promise in her life. I'm thankful that God would give you a laugh that really counts. God would put joy in your life. How many wants to laugh at the odds? Don't you want to laugh at the enemy? And when the enemy says it can't happen, I'm glad that God has a last laugh. And if God has a last laugh, you can share with it. Devil, I'm on the winning side. Hey, if God laughs, you can laugh when you're in covenant with God. What a mighty God we serve. Later on, Moses, think about it. Moses and his family were in Egypt. And the Lord made provisions. And while the Pharaoh said, let's kill all the male children, Moses' mother prepared an ark. Here's another ark. It was a little basket, but she pitched it within and out with tar. And it was waterproof. And she placed him in the river. And along came the Pharaoh's daughter, came to bathe in a ceremonial manner. And they found that ark with that child in it. Moses was raised in the house of Pharaoh. The Pharaoh that said all these boys should be killed. But God had favor upon Moses. And there came a day and an hour that Moses said, I am not an Egyptian. I belong to the King of Kings. I am not my own. Amen. I belong to a higher source. I'm telling somebody today, what a power to belong to something greater than you. Amen. The power of a covenant keeper. And covenants are binding. It's more than a ceremony. Amen. Even baptism is a covenant. I'm afraid that many people get baptized because they feel it's just a ceremony. Some people get baptized to join a church. Friend, you could join every church in the world. This church sign ain't going to save you. This building's not going to be a saving station for you if you don't obey God. Amen. We get baptized in water. But friend, it's more than just going through the motion. You need to have a covenant. God's going to keep his word when you love God and make it sacred to you that I'm not just going to get wet, but I'm going to take on the name of Jesus Christ in my life. I'm going to reverence him. I'm going to let it be a sacred thing to me. Amen. Covenants are binding. They're ratified with a total sellout, not a handshake. Not somebody coming to the front of the church and saying, I want to join the church. Shake the preacher's hand. No. I got more than a shaking hands with a preacher deal. Amen. I got a God that wants to reach inside of your heart. God wants to change you. God wants to make a covenant with you tonight. God wants to fill you with his promise. And God wants his glory to live inside of you. Amen. Are you thankful for the beauty and the power of the Holy Ghost? But it takes somebody surrendering and saying, God, I'm ready to sell out. I'm ready to ratify the deal and be yours today. You got to have faith in the faithful one. Hebrews 11 chapter says, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It means faith is a handle on the unseen. When you got God in your life, you got faith. Amen. I'm living a different realm because I'm in covenant with God. And God's a keeper of covenant. God's going to keep me. God's going to bless me. The Bible says without faith, you can't please God. Men of old lived their whole life by this covenant trust with God. I want to tell you, it still requires eliminating your own agenda. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, you're bought with a price. You're not your own. You can tell when somebody's their own because they're so stubborn. When you're your own instead of belonging to God anymore, amen, pretty soon you take back your ownership. And you think you're smarter than everybody else. You think you're smarter than God. You think you're smarter than the people of God in your life. And, you know, something starts going wrong. But, friend, when you sell out, that means everything I got, my finances, my emotions, my lifestyle, are all his. Boundaries are not burdens. Amen. Oh, when you live a life that is separated, the boundaries are not a burden, but they're a blessing. Obedience is not something, a task, but it brings joy, good pleasure to do God's will. You go to Chick-fil-A and you go out through the window and they give you your bag with all your good stuff in it and you say thank you and the person responds, my pleasure. When you really live for God in covenant, it's not just something that you do because you got to do it. It's my pleasure to do your good will. God, I'm so thankful that I can live for you. It's a joy to live for God. Amen. To be a promise keeper and a covenant keeper to God. Amen. How beautiful it is. True covenants begin to require you eliminate your own will and agenda. It's good pleasure to do his will. There's a total synchronization with God's system. You're under his authority. You respect the line. There's no ifs or buts. You just say, you know, a covenant don't change. I've had people that one time they felt, yeah, you know, that's too much. But when the Holy Ghost turns the light on, And God begins to speak to you. And God says, I want you to take care of that. And you make a difference in your life and you throw something away that God hates or God convicts you of. Amen. You throw it away. You don't go put it in the back somewhere and you don't go put it in the garage and say, one day I'll come back and get you. No, you burn it. You get rid of it. You say, God, I'm doing this for you. If God tells you not to go to a certain place, you're not going to go to a certain place. If God tells you to stay away from certain people, you'll stay away from certain people. If God tells you you're not going to bow to this, you're not going to bow. It's a great thing because God looks at you and he sees fit in your life to trust you and to make a deal with you. Hey, friend, a deal is a two-way thing. Cortez was a Spanish explorer. And way in 1600s, whenever he came to Mexico, and the ships that took him over the sea from Cuba to Mexico, he looked around and he said, burn the ships. That way, no, there'll be no turning back. Can you imagine? They had to make it. I want to tell somebody, even backsliding should not be part of your vocabulary. You need to burn every ship. You need to burn every piece of cargo, amen, that is not wholesome. Anything and everything that would cause you to stumble, you need to burn it. You need to say, God, you matter because you're a covenant keeper. A covenant demands that we do the same. I will not retreat. I will not go back. There is no option to quit. You're in it because God's in it. Amen. Hey, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Going to burn it. Are you a covenant keeper? Can God depend on you? I love this. Some of our young people that were there at that camp had a t-shirt on, said 24/7 witness. We need to be a 24/7 Christian. Amen. We're not just a 1/7 or one day out of a week out of the Christian. No, 24/7, a covenant keeper. A covenant keeper is somebody bound, somebody bought, and somebody burning with a fresh commitment every day to say, God, we're still on for this. God, you're still on. Your deal is still mattering to me. And God's going to keep his word. We just don't sign a leadership commitment. Even our platform and our leadership, there's some people have used it as just a little commitment form instead of a covenant form. In fact, Sister Crossway, we want it changed. It's no longer say leadership commitment. It's not going to say leadership or platform commitment. Amen. We're going to say it's a platform covenant and a leadership covenant. Because, friend, amen, I believe you need to do it with your heart. You don't need to do it just because you want to get a platform. You want to do it because it matters to God. Our life, our ministry, our choices, our lifestyle must reflect the power of a covenant keeper. God's going to keep his word. God's going to bless. You know what Brother Don Tipton, Bishop Tipton said this. Sister Lauren, he said, the Bible is the only book you can read where the author is always present. Woo! And I have a covenant keeper that's always present. My God's going to be with me, just like I said a while ago, in the fiery furnace and the trial, the storm of your life, in the good times and the bad times, God's still going to be there. And when you read this precious book, it's the only book where the author stays right with you, and he's there. Amen. Hear me, saint of God, today. God will keep his word. The grass may wither, the flower may fade, but the word of God will stand forever. I want to stand with the God of the word. Sold out. The word covenant means that you literally shackle yourself, bond yourself to God. The love slave, we heard about it this week, Brother Burgess talked about it. He said, whenever somebody got to the place, you see, the slavery in the Old Testament time, if you owed a debt, you made a commitment, the only way I could pay it is for me to become your servant for 6 years. And on the seventh year, you were out of that covenant. You didn't owe him anymore. But if you decided, you know, I don't want to go back. I'd rather stay here as a servant and a slave. You see, slavery in that time wasn't a bad deal whenever they were taking care of you. Most people lived so much better than they did on their own. But somebody began to realize, what a good master I've got. And they would go to the master and they would go to the elders and say, hey, I want to commit my life to stay right here and serve you. and they would take their ear and put it against the doorpost. And they would take a punch, an awl, and they would put a hole in their ear and become a love servant, a love slave. I want to tell somebody tonight in the Holy Ghost, God is looking for somebody to have that kind of mark in their life that they would put their ear to the doorpost and say, God, I'm yours. I will go where you want me to go. I will be who you want me to be. Can God depend on you? Can God really use your life? Hear me, son of God. God will to use you. But do you belong too much to you that you can't give yourself? I want you to think about this. The strength of your walk with God is found in the depth of your covenant with Him. If you've got a shallow covenant with God, you've got a shallow walk with God. Next thing, a covenant keeper moves heaven. When you live for God and you're a covenant keeper, you're going to move heaven because heaven backs His covenant. Oh, are you thankful that God would back His covenant? I want to be one that moves heaven. Think about it. The power of a covenant keeper is not in their strength, but in their surrender. In my weakness, I realize, man, I am a lousy individual, God. I can't make it no more. I need God. I need the grace and the goodness of the Lord. When a person begins to feel like they're really good, and they think like they're better than God. They're smarter than the things of God. Get ready. Your life is headed for some trouble. But somebody that realizes, Lord, I can't make it without you holding my hand. I can't even walk. God, I can't even exist. I need your power. Amen. I want to tell you, God is not a tyrant. God is not somebody that's going to shock you with weights and chains, but with the bonds of love, my God will couple you even with His glory and His power. Are you thankful that God is a keeper of covenant? God doesn't bless talent, appearance, or potential. He blesses those that stay in covenant. I know people that are talented. I know people that, I mean, they got it dripping off of them. And God can't bless them because they're not willing to give any covenant with God. At first, you'll see them. They learn how to impress and move a congregation. They know how to move an audience, let's say. And everybody's, woo! But something starts missing when they start getting bigger in their head than where they're supposed to be. You ever seen somebody get big-headed? You ever seen somebody really think they have arrived? Friend, don't ever lose sight of where God has brought you from. Israel, God started blessing them. God started establishing them. Brother Zach, they became a powerful people. But after a while, they got to thinking, look who I am, instead of look who He is. And when we get to that place of thinking, I want to tell you, success can be a detrimental thing if it's not balanced with godliness. Covenant is not a feeling, it's a choice that unleashes divine favor. And the covenant keeper stands when other people fall because God will stand with them. I want to say this tonight, a covenant keeper is a threat to hell and a vessel of heaven. To keep covenants means to keep connection, and connection brings power. Covenant doesn't offer convenience. Sometimes God will, it was not going to be convenience. But it demands commitment, and there's some rewards with that covering. A life surrendered in covenant carries a power that no enemy can match. Think with me tonight. There's not a power that can match somebody that's in covenant with God. God fulfills His golden promise to those that learns to carry out His orders. I want to just tell you, these that went to camp met a gray-headed fellow. His name was Brother Jimmy Holland. He's the one that got up and sang about the flashlight girls. And Brother Holland, sitting across the table from me, he said, Brother Crosswhite, he said, I had an old uncle. He said, somebody told the story. I've had a man that he was very prosperous. He had a lot of great cattle. And he said, and he made a statement. He said, I can't afford to pay my tithes. And he said, the man of God looked at him and said, man, I can't afford not to pay my tithes. And he said, you know, everything you got should belong to God anyway. And he said, if you don't pay your tithes, he said, the consequences of not paying your tithes is going to be you're going to be cursed. And the man was looking out his window, and underneath a tree on a rainy day, his cattle had gathered around underneath that tree, and it was raining real hard. And about that time, a lightning bolt hit that tree, and there were cattle that were electrocuted and died. And when that man counted the amount that was dead, it was exactly the amount that he was supposed to tithe. Hey, I'm going to tell you, God don't miss. If you rob God, you're robbing yourself. But when you obey God, how beautiful it is to be in covenant with God. Amen. Hallelujah. There's been times last week, the Lord, amen, I had something that the Lord gave me, and it was an amount of money. And I had it put tucked back, and I had it, you know, kind of hidden from Sister C. And we went to that youth camp. The Lord said, man, I'd already given, already sacrificed. And the Lord said, you know that which is hidden? Give it. And I reached, and I remember thinking, you know, at first, no, that's mine. No. You ever had that happen before? You thought, no, that's mine. And I got to thinking, come on, boy, we're in covenant with God. I reached and I got that bill. I marched over there that night and I placed it in that. Amen. When I did, I said, thank you, Jesus. And I want to tell you, before the week's end, God had already blessed me in two different directions that I was unexpected. I'm telling you, God is a keeper of covenant. Even when somebody begins to say, hey, God, you're greater than me. You see further than I can see. I'm telling you what a mighty God we serve tonight. When somebody's in covenant with God, God is a powerful keeper of covenant. But God said in the book of Deuteronomy, you start playing around with dark things and disobedient things, you're rebellious, you just watch. I had a person tell me one time as a pastor, same thing. You know, it's too hard to live for God. I said, you think it's hard. You just wait till you get to the other side of rebellion. And it wasn't long that this person I'm thinking started rocking their ship. Pretty soon, everything started to happen. You see, the devil will make the road pay for a little bit where, ooh, the prodigal son, when he left home, man, he had friends. He had money in his pocket. He could jingle that money. And, oh, all his friends come running. And he was a popular dude. The road was paid for a little bit. But there came a time and a place that the money ran out. The favor ran out. And he didn't have friends around him. I'm telling somebody, it still pays to live for God. It pays to be in covenant with God. God is a keeper of his word. Amen. Amen. This morning, I played a little clip from this brother Jimmy Dunn. Holland, and he told a story how in Vicksburg, Mississippi, the church in Vicksburg, when it started, a man bought a piece of property on a hill, and they bought it for pennies on the dollar because where it was located was not a too good of a place. It did not have water. And they bought it, and the preacher's son-in-law, the Lord spoke to him and said, there is water about 20 to 25 feet from the corner. They set up a tripod of metal things there and started digging. And friend, about 20 feet under the ground, they struck, I mean, a vein of water. They were able to put a pitcher pump there, he said. And he said, you know, the church property, he said, when you got up there, they had holes all on the top of that hill, and it was quite unlevel. At the bottom of the hill was a very rich man who had large piles of dirt. And the pastor went to him and he said, sir, he said, you know, the church is needy. We got a lot of unlevel things on the top of this hill where our church is at, a lot of holes. And he said, you know, we're needing some dirt to fill in all that, some good topsoil. And he said, I noticed you got some right here to the left of the driveway, several piles of it. He said, you know, if you would give that to the church, we'll clean up that whole area for you. And the man looked at me and he started basically saying, no, there's no way possible I ever give anything to you holiness people. And he said, That man belittled the things of God, belittled the people of God. That night, there came a big rainstorm. Think with me. That rainstorm hit that piles of dirt and washed it uphill. And it leveled out that property. I'm telling you, amen, that's the kind of God I serve. A God that will keep covenant with his people. When you love God, God's going to love you back. When you live for God, God's going to live for you. And when you learn to sacrifice to God, God's going to take care of those that will sacrifice. And so I play that one this morning. I'm going to play another one. I've heard this all my life. I remember hearing it the first time. And there was a preacher that preached for me, for us when we were little kids, that preached a long revival in my home church named Jerome Bourne. Brother Jerome Bourne, God would use him mightily. And I remember him talking about the same story. And I want to play what Brother Jimmy Holland told me in this clip. I want you to hear it, the testimony of a keeper of covenant.
This is Brother Jimmy Holland. This is with you, Kent. In Pineville, June the 5th, 2025, he's going to tell me a little testimony. Years ago, even before I was born in 51, my dad's brother, Hiram Holland, as I understand, was pastor in Mississippi, a church called The Barn. Somebody came by and said, "Preacher, the old community horse that everybody used to plow the garden has broke his leg." Hiram Holland laid his rake against the fence, headed down to the cotton gin. A bunch of men were gathered in a cotton gin in J.S., Mississippi, and fixing to shoot a horse with a broke leg, and they said, "Hold on, here's that holiness preacher." Hiram Holland, who was my uncle, he said, "Can I have that horse?" The owner said, "Preacher, what you gonna do with a broke-legged horse? It won't grow back right." He said, "I just want to know, will you give me that broke-legged horse?" "Well, yeah, I guess you can have it." He knelt down in the cotton gin, put his big old gawky hands around that horse's leg, said, "Lord, I need a horse. Make food, my garden for my children." And those sinner men declare that they heard that bone begin to crack. And God put the bone back together. My uncle said, "God, while you're at it, I want you to take this scar away." He rubbed that horse's leg. The scar disappeared. He grabbed the horse's mane, straddled the horse, and rode off. He said, "Man, I got work to do." That story has been told by his own family, and I am happy as a descendant of Hiram Holland, who was my dad's brother, to have shared this story. May the Lord bless whoever hears it.
A God that keeps covenant. I'm telling you. And Brother Jerome Bourne, I'll never forget, said whenever Hiram Holland prayed for that horse, he used that horse to travel from place to place in southern Mississippi and establish churches all in that area. Used to, a person would ride 7 or 8 miles one way. That was a long ways. 15 miles was a day's journey. I'm telling you, God is able to bless and God is able to fulfill the keeper of covenant. I don't care what the need is tonight. I've got a God that is able to keep the covenant with his people. Hallelujah. God is a promise keeper. God is faithful to his church. The same old preacher the Lord spoke to, "Get aboard a bus. and go to California because he said, I want you to preach a revival. And he named the preacher. You know what he did? He got on a bus and he started headed a 3-day journey from JS, Mississippi, all the way to California. 3-day journey. Somewhere way before he got to California, in the desert in the middle of the night, the Lord spoke to him, get off the bus. He went to the bus driver and he said, bus driver, he said, the Lord just spoke to me to get off the bus. Stop the bus. Let me out. And the bus driver said, it's desert. It's in the middle of the night. He said, I don't care. The Lord spoke to me to get off the bus. He gets off the bus and the bus takes off. The man said, you're sure? He said, I'm sure God spoke to me to get off. The bus takes off and tail lights are gone. And he said, in just a little bit, he looked from where the bus took off. Here comes some headlights coming down the road. And friend, when the headlights came to where he was, they stopped the car. The window was already rolled down because they didn't have air conditioning back in those days. And a head poked out and he said, Brother Jimmy Holland, the Lord spoke to me to come over here and pick you up. It was the man he was going to preach for in California. I'm telling you, God is a keeper of covenant. And there's a power that he has for those that will live for him. Oh, the Bible says the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. He's the glory, the lifter of the head. He's the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Tonight, if God be for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. Don't ever be afraid of sacrifice. Hear me, somebody. Coley, where you at? Don't ever be afraid of sacrifice when God begins to challenge you. Nina, don't ever be afraid of sacrifice when the Lord says sacrifice. Abby, don't ever be afraid of sacrifice. Because if you're living for God, God's living for you. Riley, don't ever be afraid of sacrifice. God's going to keep his word. Rebecca, hear me. God's going to keep his end of the deal. When you live for him, Rachel, remember sacrifice when God begins to ask for a sacrifice. A sacrifice is nothing when God is in covenant with you. Abraham, I want you to take your only son. Remember, Abraham and Sarah didn't have a child. They had no other but that one, even between them. And God said, take that only son, Isaac, and go into the mountain and offer him. Guess what he said? He didn't say, I'm going to sacrifice. He told the servants, he said, stay right here with the lad. We're going up and worship. I'm telling you, if you look at the word sacrifice, even to many people, it's something hard. But Abraham didn't call it sacrifice. He called it worship. I'm telling somebody, when it's worship to God, when you give out of your substance, when you obey the Holy Ghost, you're worshiping the God of heaven. There on that mountain that day, when the man reared back ready to plunge a knife in the jugular vein of his son on that altar, all of a sudden something got his attention. There in the bush, even was a ram. Way before, when the boy asked, Daddy, we got the fire, we got the wood. He said, son, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. Amen. We're going to worship. Hallelujah. They went up worshiping, and I imagine they went down worshiping because God prepared a sacrifice, an offering. Tonight in this place, God is looking for somebody to be a keeper of his covenant. Yes. Hallelujah. My keeper of covenant, a keeper of his word, a keeper of his promise. Amen. Brother Brent, come up here real quick. I love these little boys that are 14, 15 years old. He's 19. But many times I walk up to him and I'll say, show me your muscles, buddy. And I go, whoo, look at there. Tonight, you know what? Somebody needs to say, God, show me your muscles. Show me your power. God, are you powerful enough to carry it? The Lord said, if I carry the weight of the world on my shoulders, I'm able to carry your problem, your situation, if you keep covenant with me. Amen. Oh, show me your muscles, son of God. Show me your muscles. Amen. Come on, this is for God tonight. Show me your strength by obedience to the word of God. I don't care how big they are. I don't care how tall Goliath may be in your life. David said, you want to see my
my muscles, the battle don't belong to me, but it belongs to God. My muscles are in this, that I have a God that is able to give me the battle, because the battle's not mine. Oh, you come with me with sword. You come to me with shields. You come to me with all this battle, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God. He called him an uncircumcised. You're an out of covenant dude. But I'm in covenant with the mighty God. Woo, hallelujah. He took the stone and they began to sling with that sling around his head. And he said, in the name of the Lord God. Amen. And when that stone found its place, amen, it hit the man right where he aimed. I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm glad that God has good aim. I'm glad that my God don't miss tonight. My God's on purpose in this place. Stand with me in this service. You ought to lift your voice to God throughout this building. Somebody ought to lift their hands and reach up to Calvary and say, God, thank you for hanging for me. God, to make a covenant with me. Thank you for raising from the grave. And Lord, rising, resurrecting to give me a covenant. Thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost, the covenant, the power of your Spirit. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to lift your voice. Come on, these kids testified it tonight. Amen. They testified if you lift your voice. Come on, if you lift your voice, saint of God. Come on, senior saint, lift your voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, are you in covenant with God or out of covenant? Are you in covenant? Get in covenant tonight. Get in covenant with God. It still takes a surrender. It still takes obedience. Hallelujah. Are you tired of being a loser? Are you tired of being a loser? Are you tired of life of failure everywhere you turn? Things are happening, getting their better blow. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. When the refrigerator starts going out, something else starts going out, something else starts going out. You know what I'm talking about? The bill collector starts calling. But the difference is, hallelujah, when you're in covenant with God, let the refrigerator go out. God's supposed to bless you with another one. Let the washing machine belt break. God has got enough to bless you with something else when you're in covenant with God. When you're in covenant with God, when the bill collectors start rattling your cage, you've got a God that's in favor with you, in covenant with you. That's where you start saying, okay, God, I've taken care of the things of your kingdom. I've been quick and faithful, Lord, to bless you. You're able. Little lady had nothing to her name. She couldn't pay her debts. She had nothing but a cruse of oil, just a little bottle of oil. That's all she had. And a big God that was able to supply that need. Every time she obeyed the man of God, he said, go borrow every pot you could find. Go get it, bring it in your house, fill your house with these vessels. She went borrowed the next door neighbors and the neighbors and the neighbors in the neighborhood. She filled her house with empty vessels. And she took that little bitty bottle. Cruse of oil. Think with me. She had big gumbo pots. Pardon the Cajun part. Man, she had all these different things there. Big pots, little pots, empty pots all over her house. And a little bottle and a big promise from God. The man of God says, start pouring out of that bottle. I just got a little cruise, but I got a big God that I'm in covenant with. She starts filling those pots up to every vessel that she had in the house was full. And he said, go and sell it to pay off your debts. and keep the rest. I'm thankful tonight I have a God who keepeth covenant for 1,000 generations. Which side are you going to be on? The favor side, or the one that God says, you know, I tried to bless you. I tried to help you. My people tried to help you, but you were too stubborn, too foolish, too full of self, that you just wouldn't sell out because you were so full of you. There was no empty spot for me to pour my blessings in your life. My God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. Not just for me, but somebody right now. Hallelujah. God's waiting for you to surrender and open your heart tonight. Hallelujah. Would you reach up to Jesus? Hallelujah. 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 Sister Crosswise, sister, sing. I want you to connect to Almighty God tonight. Come on, somebody needs to get on the winning side.
Lead me and guide me every day.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God wants to put his anointing in somebody's life tonight. Hallelujah. God wants to bless. God wants to sanctify. God wants to honor tonight your life. Hallelujah. Would you just close your eyes and somebody open your mouth and begin to say, God, I need you. Lift your hands and surrender to God. That's why we raise our hands. We surrender when we lift our hands. Somebody needs to reach to God and say, help me, Lord. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't be so stubborn that you can't say help. God wants you to ask for help. God wants you to lean on him, not your understanding.
Order my steps in your word.
Hallelujah.
Please
order my steps
in your word.
Jesus.
Order my steps in your word, dear Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Somebody needs to bathe in the anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight. Come on. Hallelujah. Reach to Jesus. Reach to Jesus.
Father, I pray.
Order my steps in your word. Order my steps in your word.
Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me every day.
Send your anointed, Father, I pray. Steps in your word.
Please
order my steps in your word. My steps in your word, dear Lord. Father, I pray, order my steps in your word. The Lord is here tonight to meet with somebody. Hallelujah. I received a phone call last night. I have on my list to call this man. It's been on my heart for the last 2 weeks. And every time I go to call, something happens. But last night about 9 o'clock, I think we was in the kitchen. All of a sudden the phone rings and I seen who it was. I snatched it up real quick because this man has been on my heart. I've been praying for him. And this little voice on there, Brother Crosswhite, I wanted to call you. I've been praying for you. I just felt led of the Lord to tell you, the God of heaven's on your side. And he said, Brother Crosswhite, he said, is there a missionary that needs some help right now? You know a missionary that's doing the will of God? He said, the Lord's impressed me.
He said, I just started getting my Social Security check back. He said, something happened. I had to get it done. And he said, the Lord is dealing with me. He said, to give my way out of this. And he said, I'm putting a check in the mail because I want to help a missionary bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody. This little man, through the years, God has used him. I mean, I want to tell you, amen, a hard-working man that roofed through the years. He raised bees all over Tennessee, all over that area. A man of faith, a man of sacrifice. Didn't that man sacrifice? God blessed him many a times where he gave everything he made. That's Sister Mott's daddy. He lives in Kansas. The Lord spoke to that man. Pastor, I want to do something for God. There's something in the kingdom. He said, the truth matters to me more than anything. I can't go there, but he said, I want somebody that's there to be used of God. I'm telling you. Sister Mott, all your life you've seen it. All your life you watched that little daddy take, and somebody in their right mind would say, what is money doing? Money, Abbott, why are you taking your food money? You just worked hard on that roof and you're giving it all? But Monty Abbott had a God who was a keeper of covenant. I don't care how big the Goliath is tonight. I've got a God that will stand with me when I stand for him. My God, sing it against this crossway. Somebody needs to receive what God has. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing. The reason why you keep failing in your life, because, amen, you're trying to handle it on your own. Come on, give the battle to God. give your life to God tonight. God, I'm no longer mine. I'm yours. I'm telling you, there's anointing tonight in the Holy Ghost for somebody's life. Come on, you've been a miserable wreck. You battled a lot of miserable things in your brain, in your mind, in your emotions that you can't handle. You can't cope because you haven't surrendered totally everything to God. Tonight, the God of heaven is just saying, come on, you've been on the wrong train, going the wrong track. But tonight, I'm giving you an opportunity to get on the right track. I have love for you. I'm not choosing you because you're great and mighty. I choose you tonight because I love you. I speak to you because I want you. I want to bless you. I want to anoint you. I want you to be part of my team, part of my covenant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need somebody that's going through it in your life tonight. And you're not ashamed. You're tired of it. You're tired of going through the mud of life. And you need something from the Holy Ghost right now. I want you to come to the front of this building right here and say, God, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for a new beginning in my life. God, I'm tired of the rut. I'm tired of the failures. I'm tired of things. Come on, I need somebody that's willing to say, God, here am I. God, I want to do what you want me to do. I will be who you called me to be. I will go where you want me to go. I will do what you're impressing me to do for your kingdom. I will make that sacrifice for you. See, you're not by yourself tonight. There's hungry people. There's people willing tonight to say, God, here am I. Come on, don't stay right where you're at. You need to make your way to the front and lift your hands and say, God, I hunger. I thirst for your favor. I thirst for your covenant. I thirst for your power in my life. The operation of your love. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, get on the winning side tonight. Come on, get on the winning side. Come on, you can't stay on the losing side. You've been on the wrong train, going the wrong track. Tonight, the Holy Ghost just wants somebody. Amen. Come on. If you keep going the way you're going to go, you're going to derail your life. Your life will derail if you keep going the wrong way. But tonight, the God of heaven is here for you. His mercy is reaching to you. His loving kindness is trying to connect with you. Hallelujah.
Send your
anointing, Jesus. Send your power right now. Send your power, Jesus, in my life. Order my steps. Order my steps. Order my life, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy, holy.
steps in your word.
I need somebody to start sacrificing right now. Come on. The world calls it sacrifice. We call it worship. That means you give yourself. You lay yourself before God. Come on, give that honor to God, friend. Come on, step a little further in your worship. Let it be a let it be costly to you. Let it be something tonight that you make great effort to give to God.
Please, Lord,
give, come on, give to the Lord. Give to the Lord tonight. Come on, don't stay on the losing side. There's a winning side for your soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to raise that banner to worship right now. Raise that banner. Come on, press your way through with worship to the throne of grace. God has a throne of grace, not of judgment tonight. Amen. Come on, I want to be on the grace side. I want them to be on the anointed side. Come on, keep worshiping. Somebody's at the threshold. Come on, somebody's at the threshold of where God wants you tonight. You're ready to step through. Come on, worship the Lord tonight. Somebody needs to go ahead and push your way through tonight. Come on, go before the throne of grace. The Lord is in this place to help you.
angels watches over me. I have a God who puts my enemies beneath my feet. I have a God for when I'm sick or if I'm feeling well. I have a God, I have a God, and my God cannot fail. When I'm sick or if I'm feeling well, I have a God. I have a God. I have a God. With his angels watches over me. I have God puts my enemies beneath my feet. I have God for when I'm sick or if I'm feeling well. I have God, I have a God, my God cannot fail. Angels watches over me. I have a God who puts my enemies beneath my feet. I have a God for when I'm sick or if I'm feeling well. I have a God, I have a God, and my God cannot fail. Beneath my feet, I have a God for when I'm sick, I'm feeling well. God who with his angels watches over me. I have a God puts my enemies beneath my feet. I have a God for when I'm sick or if I'm feeling well. I have a God, I have a God, and my God cannot fail. I have a God, I have a God who with his angels watches over me. I have a God puts my enemies beneath my feet. I have a God for when I'm sick, if I'm feeling well. I have a God, I have a God, and my God cannot fail. I have a God, I have a God who with his angels watches. I have a God who puts my enemies beneath my feet. down, or if you are in need, look up past your troubles. You will clearly see our Heavenly Father with His angels looking down on you. I have a God, I have a God. He will see you through. I have a God. I have a God who with His angels watches over me. I have a God puts my enemies beneath my feet. I have a God for when I'm sick or if I'm feeling well. I have a God, I have a God, and my God cannot fail. I have a God.
I have a God.
enemies beneath my feet. I have a God for when I'm sick or if I'm feeling well. I have a God, and my God cannot fail. I have a God who with his angels watches over me. I have a God who puts my enemies beneath. Over me, I have a God who puts my enemies beneath my feet. I have a God who, when I'm sick or if I'm feeling well, I have a God, and my God cannot fail. I have a God.
You ought to lift your voice and shout to God tonight. Come on, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Come on, lift your voice. Nothing can replace your voice. Your voice, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Would you lift your hands and thank the Lord for his promises tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you for your sweet promise, the way that you give them, Lord. Would you stand behind? We thank you, Lord, for it tonight. We give you honor. We give you praise, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. The beauty of the Holy Ghost has been in this place tonight. God's spoken to us. Amen. What an honor to have Glenn with us tonight. Amen. So blessed to have him. Others with us this evening. So blessed. Amen. We want the Lord to continue and continue to minister to us, through us. Amen. This week, remember, Tuesday night is prayer. Tuesday night is midweek. Amen. Appreciate Brother Brian Pirtle teaching Tuesday night. Amen. We look forward to the things of God. Right around the corner in the month of August, we have Youth Crusade. Brother Benjamin Davis pastors in Rosenberg, Texas. He took the church several years ago. This is the church that Brother Zach grew up in. And Brother Davis took the church. They had to, immediately God started giving revival. They tore down the walls to expand, and pretty soon the Lord blessed them where they were able to build a beautiful, fine building right there in Rosenberg. Brother Davis is going to be one of the speakers. When Brother Davis received the Holy Ghost in West Tulsa, Oklahoma, he had long hair, trashed out life on the streets of Tulsa. God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and what a great testimony. And we're so thankful for what God's going to do. The other speaker, see, Brother Martinez texted me, and Brother Daniel, something is his name. And anyway, Brother Daniel Ballinger is going to be the speaker for Thursday night. Let me tell you what the plans is. That Friday night, we're going to have a great time. Our young people after service, we're going to have a meal for them. And I'll need some help with some older adults helping us out to serve that night. We're working on the plans to have that all together. Then in the month of September, everybody say Senior Saints. Our Senior Saint Crusade will be up in September. On a Friday night, Brother Alfred Gibson will be our speaker. Brother Gibson pastors in Leblon, Louisiana. Tremendous man of God, singer. Then on Saturday, we have a gospel singing here at the church. And that singing is going to be the Apostolic Boys. Brother Gibson's going to be singing as well. I need your help. We're making the flyers. That's all in the process right now. But I'm going to need your help. Those of you that has Facebook, other things, once we get our flyer made, I need you to help me. And we want to saturate every person we know with an opportunity to come on that Friday night and that Saturday, even our youth crusade. But the good thing, on Saturday, Friday night after church, we'll have chicken and dumplings and cornbread for the senior saints, and our youth will be serving that. Then on Saturday after the singing, we're going to be having barbecue, sausage, chicken and sausage barbecue, and I may talk to Brother Corbett, seeing if he could help out with some other stuff too that we had at Senior Saints. Amen. But what we were going to do, the Senior Saints will get to eat free that night. We're just asking for those who come, other guests, if they're not a senior, just give a minimum. We're not going to charge that much for a plate, but just something to help with the cost of it. And we're looking forward to what God's going to do. Great things are going to happen. We're so excited. God bless you. We do want to go to heaven, Hal. Yeah. Remember the announcement about the mowing zones. If you could help in any way, different zones that Brother Colton has, several zones, seven zones, I think it is. And make sure you get aboard and help us out. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.